In Europe, an anti-Muslim backlash in recent years has helped redraw the political map. It has boosted the standing of conservative parties in several countries. In the final part of our series on Muslims in Europe, we'll hear how new religious battle lines have been drawn. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli reports that as different cultures collide in what was the bastion of Christendom, Islam is trying to adapt to Europe's cultural environment.
Last November, Pope John Paul II addressed the Italian Parliament, and he made this appeal.
Europa, all'inizio di un nuovo millennio.
He said, Europe, at the beginning of the new millennium, open once again your doors to Christ. The Holy See has often requested that the new European Union Constitution formally recognize Europe's Christian roots. In fact, the man drafting that constitution, former French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, has voiced opposition to European Union membership for Muslim Turkey. He says it would mean the end of Europe. A fear that Christian Europe is threatened by Muslim infidels is being exploited by some right-wing politicians. At this rally in Rome last fall, the speaker called for a new crusade against what he called the Islamic threat. Mario Borghezio belongs to the Northern League, which is part of the government coalition.
Io non sopporto questo tentativo mondialista di imbastardire il nostro sangue con un'immigrazione sfrenata.
Borghezio said, I cannot stand this immigration onslaught and multiracial propaganda that wants to bastardize our blood and our cultural identity. He warned against the disappearance of crucifixes in public places and called Muslim immigration an attempt to colonize Europe. According to the United Nations, Europe's Muslim population has doubled in the last decade, and an estimated 500,000 immigrants, mostly Muslim, arrive every year.
It's a shift of earthquake proportions in European history that we're experiencing.
Jorgen Nielsen is professor of Islamic studies at Birmingham University in England.
The implications are we have to revisit our understanding, our self-understanding. We have to revisit what we mean by being British or Danish or German. We have to redefine our concept of nation.
Nielsen says that for decades, European societies imbued with a colonial attitude made little effort to integrate immigrants. They believed guest workers would ultimately go home. But Islam is here to stay. Larbi Kitchat is the imam of the Rue des Tangiers Mosque in Paris.
Et l'islam n'est plus une réalité étrangère, l'islam est une réalité européenne.
He says Islam is no longer a foreign phenomenon. Islam is a European reality. It's time for Europe to wake up and change. But even many European liberals wonder whether Islam is compatible with the values of modern Western societies. For the first time in the history of Islam, large numbers of Muslims are living as a minority in secular societies, a situation not contemplated in their traditions. Numerous Muslims in Europe are asking themselves new questions. The Tawhid Cultural Center is located in Saint-Denis outside Paris. While some people pray in a back room, others browse in the small bookshop. Director Fouad Imaraïn describes what's on the shelves. Imaraïn points out that few French Muslims speak the language of their parents, so all the books here are in French. The Quran and all sacred Islamic texts are translations from the Arabic, a sign, he says, that a new Islam is emerging.
This is an Islam that tries to separate itself from its ethnic origins, to re-establish itself in a new European ethnicity.
Imaraïn says an intense debate is underway on how to adapt Islam to this secular society.
Can a Muslim participate in the construction of a pluralistic society? Is he able to do it? When he wants to do it, is it not a contradiction with Islamic texts? This goes further than questions of religious practice. This is philosophical.
Olivier Roy, a specialist in Islamic studies at the National Center for Scientific Research in Paris, says day-to-day issues are forcing European Muslims to make tough decisions.
You have to decide about food. What does it mean to eat halal? You have to decide your prayers. Should I pray 5 times? You have to decide your relations with women. Should I shake their hands and so on and so on. You have to reinvent, to reconstruct your religious attitude and comportment.
Roy also points out that there are some Muslims who are unwilling or unable to accept Western ideas and lifestyles perceived to be incompatible with Islam. Roy goes so far as to claim that the Al-Qaeda terrorist phenomenon has West European roots, with the important exception of the Saudi members of the network. He cites people like Mohammed Atta, fluent in European languages and educated in Europe in fields such as engineering and computer science.
Most of them did become born-again Muslim in Europe. Meaning that when they were in the Middle East, they were not known, you know, for any sort of religious activist record. They were not known for going to the mosque and things like that. I would say that the present radicalization of Muslims in the world is a consequence of the westernization of Islam and not a consequence of the spillover of the Middle Eastern conflicts in Europe.
Roy stresses that those Muslims who completely reject Western culture and values are a minority. However, discrimination in European societies is pushing many second and third generation Muslims to embrace traditional Islam as a badge of identity. Muslims' jobless rate is often double that of non-Muslims, and they are stuck in the most stagnant sectors of the economy with bleak prospects for the future. Many European officials worry that radical preachers can recruit in this pool of underprivileged and alienated youth. The increased scrutiny of Muslim communities in Europe after September 11th has revealed that most imams in Europe are sent here by Islamic countries, and many of them don't speak the language of the host society. This disconnect is worrying not only European governments, but also moderate Muslims. In Rotterdam, a sleek office building is the home of what calls itself the first Islamic university in Europe. The Secretary General is a Turk of Kazakh origin, Ebubekir Öztürk. He says this institution is a bridge between two cultures, a laboratory that tries to forge a kind of Euro-Islam. And he believes that reform of his religion will begin on this continent.
Democracy, I think within the values of Islam, it can be a very good mosaic, and we can manage this as Muslims, and we can also give a good example to the Islamic world, Middle East, that democracy is not an enemy or not a danger for Islamic way of life.
But a new Euro-Islamic theology may take decades to evolve, according to Stefano Alievi, professor of Islamic studies at the University of Padua. Alievi is one of the authors of an about-to-be-released European Union report on Muslims in Europe. He says reforms are already being practiced.
And what is happening in the streets, is happening in the group of friends. When they talk, what do you pray, do you fast, do you have sex with your girlfriend or not?
In Rome, only a few miles from the Vatican, stands the largest mosque in Western Europe. Mario Shaloya, a convert to Islam, is in charge here. He says the mosque architects were inspired by the great monuments of Islamic Europe.
So we have a kind of a forest of pillars, like typical of the mosques of Andalusia, of the Arab Spain. There is a central dome and small domes all around it, which is typical of the mosques in Istanbul, in Turkey.
Shaloya says this mosque in the heart of Rome is the symbolic headquarters of a European Islam. But even here, the young Egyptian imam preaches in Arabic because he doesn't speak Italian. Nevertheless, a silent revolution is underway. Europe's Muslims are trying to find answers to this century-old question: how to reconcile Islam's religious traditions with modernity. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.